Hello there. My name is Dushyant here. I'm a program manager in the Azure Active Directory team. 8 years back, I joined Microsoft in the on-premises AD team. And from then on, I worked on the identity platform for Office 365 that became Azure Active Directory. And for the past couple of years, I've been focusing on identity and access management for Azure. So in this landscape of Azure, it's the upper left side, the security and management area that we're going to be focusing on. Having a good access control strategy is very important for a successful cloud adoption. I recently heard a cautionary tale from a director of IT of a large organization. 2 years back, their company had allowed department owners, their business unit owners, to go purchase IaaS and PaaS services, whatever made sense for their teams, without any oversight or central governance. What they ended up with in 2 years is a place where they're paying $2 million every month to Amazon Web Services, yet they have no idea of what infrastructure is running in the cloud. They have no idea of what data, their corporate data or their customer data resides on that infrastructure. And they have no idea of who has access to that infrastructure. It was a disaster. So they brought in this director of IT and his team, and they performed an audit of all of the AWS IAM accounts that were associated with their corporate credit cards. And they did an inventory of all of the VMs and infrastructure in those accounts. What they haven't still able to figure out what those VMs are running or what data they have, but they realized that people who had already left their organization, they had access to over 50% of the cloud resources that they had in the cloud. So in today's session, what I want to do is give you an overview of access management model for Azure, focus on Azure Active Directory and roles-based access control. And I'm hoping to leave you with enough information so that you can design an access control model for your Azure cloud adoption and don't end up in a situation like the worst case scenario that I just described. Azure AD plays a central role in access management for Azure. Every subscription in Azure is homed to, is associated with one and only one Azure Active Directory. And only the identities from this directory can manage resources, cloud resources in the Azure subscription. Now, whether they're using the Azure Management Portals or the command line tools, the PowerShell tools, or even directly accessing the service management APIs to manage those cloud resources, only the users, groups, and application identities from this directory can be granted that access. Now, the association between a subscription and the directory automatically gets created when the subscription is born. What I mean by that is if an employee of this organization uses their work account, not their personal Microsoft account, what we used to refer to as Live ID, if they use their work account and sign up for an Azure subscription, that subscription or that Azure account automatically gets associated with the company's Azure Active Directory. This is really important because a lot of our customers in their organizations, the people who are managing the identity piece are different from people who are creating subscriptions in the Azure cloud or managing or governing their IaaS and PaaS clouds. And it's important that people who are creating these Azure subscriptions shouldn't have to keep going back to the people managing identity to create the connection between the subscription and the company's identity system for single sign-on or in general. And the people who are managing identity should not have to manage multiple connections to different Azure subscriptions and Azure accounts. So this model makes it easy to segregate the role between people who are managing identity piece versus people who are going and adopting Azure Cloud. By the way, in AWS IAM model, you have to manage the connection between your company's identity system and every AWS IAM account separately. That places management overhead and makes it difficult to segregate the duties between people managing identities and IaaS and PaaS clouds. Now, if your company is using on-premises Active Directory, which is the case with most of our large and medium customers, and you've mastered all your identities in the on-premises Active Directory, Azure AD makes it very easy for you to extend your on-premises AD to the cloud and manage access to your cloud services using identities and your on-premises AD. In this case, you can grant access to your Azure cloud in Azure subscriptions and resources within Azure to identities which are from your on-premises AD, the users as well as groups from on-premises AD. And you can also configure single sign-on for the management of Azure cloud, whether it's single sign-on to the management portal or even to command line tools and service management APIs for the users using their credentials in on-premises. Using Azure AD B2B, business to business, you can securely collaborate with your partner organizations where you can bring in identities from the partner directories and grant them appropriate access to your Azure cloud to manage the Azure cloud, where you do not have to manage the life cycle of these partner identities or their credentials or their passwords. All of that is managed separately in the partner's directory. Now, the way you manage access to Azure is using the roles-based access control feature, which is as simple as assigning the appropriate RBAC role to one of these identities, to these identities in the directory at the right place in the Azure resource hierarchy. What I mean by that is if you want to grant access to the subscription, you would assign an RBAC role to one of these identities at the subscription scope. Whereas if you want to assign access to only a resource group within a subscription, which maybe represents the project they're working on, then you would grant a role, assign a role to one of these identities at the resource group scope. You can even assign roles at individual resource scopes in Azure to grant access to, let's say, a given VM or a specific subnet or a storage account. All of these role-based access control policies, they reside in the Azure Active Directory, and they're enforced centrally on the Azure Service Management API. So no matter what portals, what tools, what applications are being used to manage your Azure cloud resources, the policies that you're laying down with roles-based access control will be enforced consistently. I want to leave this slide here for a moment for you to absorb, because once you've established this model for your Azure cloud, you've won 90% of the battle with the challenges that are present in managing access to cloud resources. See, the cautionary tale which I told you earlier, in that the company was using Amazon Web Services. But really, you can end up in that situation with any cloud provider if your employees are using their personal identities to sign up for these cloud services and sharing corporate data using personal identities. The key here is that Azure and Azure AD make it very easy for you to be able to configure the right access model for your cloud services, where you can create a balance between the self-service that you need to provide to the people who are actually building cloud services versus the central governance that you need to keep with the central team that is governing your Azure cloud. And in this model, the nice thing is that there's delegation of administration and segregation of duty at every level. So the people who are managing your identity and the directory and the connection with your on-premises or partner identities are and can be different from the people who are managing your IaaS and PaaS cloud in Azure. The subscriptions can be different from the people who are managing network for all your Azure cloud, can be different from the people who are managing compute and storage for a project that's been onboarded to the Azure cloud. I think you get the idea. Okay, so I want to walk you through a scenario that I very commonly encounter. Most of the large enterprise customers that I've worked with for Azure, what they want to do is they want to enable some level of self-service management to cloud resources for these various teams in their organization that are actually building and running services. But they also want to keep central governance. They want to keep the control of the security-sensitive pieces like network connectivity back to their enterprise, connectivity to the internet with a small set of central team, really. So in this case, in this scenario, we're going to step into the shoes of Ellen, who's running the central team for a fictitious organization called AD Demo. And Ellen wants to lay down basically a framework where she onboards multiple projects from her organization to the Azure cloud. And she wants to allow the project owners to be able to create and manage VMs and storage accounts for their service and manage that in a self-service way, but only be able to join those VMs to approved and standard virtual networks that her team manages. Let's see how she does that. All right, so I'm signed into the new Azure Management Portal as Ellen. So I've signed in using her work account. You'll see the work account is associated with the company directory, aaddemo.com. And let's take a look at the subscriptions, the Azure subscriptions that Ellen's team manages. All right, so they have a bunch of production subscriptions and a few test subscriptions, which they use for staging and testing purposes before they roll out changes to production. And these are, the production subscriptions are the ones where they're onboarding new projects from their organization. Let's take a look at one of these subscriptions. and see what access they have configured at the subscription level. So for that, I'm going to scroll down to the access lens and click on the users bot. And here I see all of the role assignments, the access assignments that have been made at the subscription scope. So I'll see that they've assigned the reader role to a large team. That's an Azure AD group, Christine Cox team. And they've assigned it the reader role on the subscription. So this allows a large number of people to be able to view, read resources in that subscription. And this presents only a read-only view to them. So they can't make any changes. They can't delete anything. They don't have any access to any secrets, but they have a view-only mode. They've also assigned a contributor role, which is a very powerful role, to an application, an Azure AD application called Azure Keys Roller Daemon. This is an application that they're using to roll secrets in their Azure subscription. And it, of course, has a very powerful standing access of contributor. A contributor in Azure RBAC can manage resources of all type, but can't grant access to other people. Owner role, whereas, can, of course, manage and create resources of all types, but also be able to grant access to others. And this role assignment is a little interesting. It is actually a built-in role assignment at the subscription scope. It gives the owner privilege in the new model, in the new RBAC model, to the classic co-admins and service admins that you are familiar with. So in the previous model, you could only assign the co-admin role at the subscription level. In the new RBAC model, which gives you much more finer-grained access management capabilities, the older co-admins and service admins become owners at the subscription scope. All right, let's take a look at the resource groups that they've created in one of these subscriptions. All right, so I've selected production one subscription, and they have a bunch of resource groups here. So they create a resource group for every project that they onboard. So they've onboarded projects like devices marketing showcase project, the pharma sales forecast project, and they're using some naming convention of the division, the team, and the project that there is. So they create these resource groups where the project owners can come in and self-service, create and manage VMs and storage accounts in the resource group that has been created for their project. But the team also has a separate resource group for the network infrastructure. And only Ellen's team has access to this resource group. They have the standard approved virtual networks in this resource group. Let's take a look at how they've configured access for this resource group. So I see a bunch of access that this resource group inherits from the subscription because our model supports access inheritance in the hierarchy. The resource group inherits all access that has been assigned at its parent subscription level. And of course, the resources within the resource group will also inherit that access. So I see the three assignments that were made at the subscription level as inherited here. And I see one new assignment which has been done at the resource group level, which is the network admins team in Ellen's team has been made the owner of this resource group. So they can create new virtual networks in this resource group and also grant access to other people to be able to join their VMs to these virtual networks. Let's take a look at one of these virtual networks. All right, I'm interested in looking at the subnets here. Okay, so they're not just segregating the infrastructure based on resource groups for different projects, but they're also, for each project, creating a new subnet in the virtual networks, these standard virtual networks. So for each project, they create a subnet with given IP ranges and only allow the project owners to join their VMs to this subnet and not to any other subnet which doesn't belong to their project. So that's another segregation which Ellen's team has created. All right, let's take a look at the project resource group. I want to see what access they've configured there. I go to the access icon here, pull up the, okay, all right. So again, there are those three assignments which the resource group inherits from the subscription. And the ones which are interesting are the virtual machine contributor role has been assigned to the project compute admins. Okay, so the people who are managing compute in the project are allowed to create and manage virtual machines within this resource group. And the storage account contributor role has been assigned to the storage admins of the project. So even within the project, what they're doing is Ellen's team is creating some kind of segregation of duties between people who are managing VMs versus people who are managing the storage accounts. Let's walk through onboarding a new project in Ellen's organization and take a look at the access management experience that Azure has enabled. Okay, so the first thing I want to do is for this new project team that has come to Ellen's team, create a resource group for them. So I go to management and I create a new resource group. I will call it devices. It's a new team and the project is R&D. All right, so I'm going to copy this because I'll use this name a lot. All right, as soon as I create that resource group now, I want to grant access to this project team, these project owners, to be able to create VMs and storage accounts in this resource group. So I can go and grant access to people from the directory. So I can go to the access plate here, add access, select the appropriate role, virtual machine contributor, and select the users from the project team. So this users is basically the directory. This people picker shows me everybody in the directory, the users as well as groups and applications. But really, I don't want to assign access to users. What I want to do instead is create a Azure AD security group for this team and assign the roles to that group so that if a new members join their team and they want to create VMs, they can just put that person in that group and they don't have to come back to my team to grant access to that new person. So that's what I'm going to do. Okay. So Ellen here, who's signed into this portal, has no permissions on the directory. She's not the directory admin. This organization has done is they allow the regular users like Ellen to be able to create security groups using this Azure AD premium feature called self-service group management. So Ellen goes to the myapps.microsoft.com where she can create security groups in the company's Active Directory and manage the membership of that security group herself. Now, this is really an optional configuration in this scenario. If your organization already has a product which allows regular users to create and manage security groups on premises, let's say if you're using the Microsoft Identity Manager, or I believe Dell has very popular products for self-service group management. If you're using one of those products, good. It'll have the same effect where Ellen's team would create these security groups in on-premises AD, and they'll get synchronized to Azure AD and have the exactly same effect that I'm going to show you right now. But in this case, I'm showing you how Ellen is going to create a new security group for the team, and she's going to use that name and call them Compute Admins. The group is open to all. Nope. The group only requires owner approval. Create. And she creates another group, actually, to segregate between storage and compute admins. This group also requires owner approval. Create. All right, so now she has two groups she wants to grant access to these groups to be able to create the right kind of resources in the resource group that she has created for a project. Before we go there, we're going to set one more configuration, which is set the owner of this group. Now, the owner of this group is Ellen right now, but she can set it to anyone, really. I'm going to assign Scott Bishop as the owner of this group because he is the project owner, really. And actually, I should go back and make him the owner of the second group also that I've created. All right, I'm going to do that. Scott is the owner of both the groups that Ellen has created. All right, I'll go back here and I'll go back to the resource group that has been created for this project. I'll go to the access blade, add access now. This time I will assign, rather now I will assign the virtual machine contributor role to the group that I just created. So these are the groups that show up in the people picker because this is just enumerating the directory. And I want to assign the virtual machine contributor role to the compute admins of this project. That's one role assignment. And the other role assignment I want to make is I want to make the storage admins of this project the storage account contributor for this resource group so that they can create and manage storage accounts. Yeah, so this gives the project team access to create resources of a certain type that Ellen's team allows in the resource group that's been created for that project. So the beauty of assigning access to group is that now Ellen's team has not just delegated the administration of certain resource types in Azure, she's also delegated the administration of access to those certain resource types. So Scott, who is the project owner of this new project, can actually add other people to come and create and manage virtual machines and storage accounts according to whatever team structure they have. They don't have to come back to Ellen's team to reflect all those changes. If somebody joins their team or somebody leaves their team, they can manage it themselves. All right, so now we've done that, we want to create a new subnet for this new project in our virtual network. I go to the virtual network blade, East US, I go to the subnets, and I'll create a new subnet here. I'll keep 256 addresses. The range looks good. All right, added successfully. And what I want to do now is allow the compute admins for this project to assign, or rather join, the VMs that they're creating to this subnet that I've created for them. And access to subnet right now can't be controlled using the management portal. It can only be controlled using Azure command line tools. So, well, this gives me a chance to show you the access management experience in Azure PowerShell. Let me go to my Windows machine. All right, so I've signed in as Ellen Adams again using her work account to Azure PowerShell. And the command I'm going to use to assign access to the subnet is a new role assignment command. Now, new role assignment command takes the identifier of the group that you're assigning access to. So the first thing I need to do is search for the groups that I've created to look up their identifier. Let me do that using the get AD group command. All right, this, okay, great. So I see the two groups that I've just created. This command also just enumerates or searches for the groups from the directory. And I want to assign the role to the compute admin. So that is the group I want to assign this role. So I'll replace this object ID with the group's object identifier. All right, so let's take a look at this command. So new Azure role assignment command takes in the identifier to whom you're assigning the role, takes in the role definition name, virtual machine contributor role. Yeah, so the virtual machine contributor role allows you to create VMs as well as join VMs to VNets and subnets. So if it's assigned at a resource group, it enables them to create VMs and manage VMs in that group. If it's assigned at a subnet, it allows people to join to that subnet, but not be able to manage that subnet, delete that subnet, or its parent virtual network in any way. The way I identify the subnet is resource name. That's the subnet we've created. It is part of the, yeah, that's the subnet, that's the resource type, and it's part of the virtual network in the resource group network. So that looks good. So that's all the configuration Ellen's team needs to do to onboard a new project, enable that project owners from that project to self-service, create and manage virtual machines and storage accounts in the resource group that's been created for their project, join them to approved standard virtual networks, which her team manages, and of course, be able to delegate access to other people in their team independently without having coming to Ellen's team. So that's really very powerful access control model that we've enabled. So as we made the access control model of Azure more capable, people wanted to get visibility into how the access is changing in their subscriptions. Because now that you can assign access at individual resources, resource groups, subscriptions, you can grant access to groups, individual users, applications, people want visibility, and it is a best practice to keep an eye on the changes that are happening in your access changes that are happening in your Azure subscription. So for that, what you should do is use the get Azure authorization change log command to create a report of all of the access changes that happen in your Azure cloud subscriptions. So in this case, I'm creating getting all of the changes that have happened in the past 7 days. You can go up to 90 days in 15 days batches. And let's see what this produces. So what I should, by the way, it's easier to export all of this data into an Excel sheet and review that on a regular basis. But right now, we're just going to look at what the command outputs on the command line. Yeah, so it gave me a bunch of access change events that have happened. And each event basically tells me when was access granted or revoked, by whom Ellen has been doing this. Who has she granted access to? A group of name this. And where did she grant that access? She granted access on this scope. The scope name is this. It's a scope of type resource, and it's actually a subnet. And the role that was assigned is virtual machine contributor. Earlier, she assigned storage account contributor on the resource group. And before that, she assigned the virtual machine contributor role on the resource. All of the stuff that we've been doing just now for this demo, you can create a report and review the changes that are happening in the access model of your Azure subscriptions on a regular basis. Let's go back to our slides. We've been working with a lot of enterprise customers of Azure over the past year or so in designing access model, access strategy for their cloud adoption. And what we've seen is a couple of patterns emerge out of all those engagements. One pattern is the one which we've been focusing on today, where there's a decentralized model of access to cloud, where this is a central team governing the subscriptions, the major cloud portions of network connectivity back to the enterprise, et cetera. But a lot of different teams in the organization coming in and creating and managing resources of type compute, et cetera. And this is the model that we're seeing people adopt. So they're connecting, of course, their identity back to their on-premises AD, synchronizing users, groups from their on-premises AD, granting access to users and groups from on-premises AD, and configuring single sign-on for access to all of Azure Cloud. They're creating subscriptions either per region or per sector, whatever makes sense for them. Every project that they're onboarding gets a resource group, just like you saw Ellen's team do. They have a standard VNet resource group, a network resource group, which they create one per each division usually. And what they're doing is they're tagging. They're using the tagging feature of Azure Resource Manager. And they're tagging each resource group with the region, division, and project so that they can track billing coming from that project using those tags. And like you saw, they're creating subnets for each project on the standard VNets and allowing the infrastructure admins and project team roles to basically create resources, manage resources in the resource group that has been created for their project. And only a small set of people can actually manage the subscriptions or the networks that connect back to the enterprise or to the internet. That's one model of decentralized access control. The centralized access control model is popular with smaller cloud adoptions, with smaller organizations, medium to smaller organizations, where there's a central team, really one team that has multiple roles within that team, and they're building, running services in the cloud and managing those services also. So basically what they have is like a platform team, very powerful, few people own all of the subscriptions, and they usually have these production dev test subscriptions. And they have different roles within that central team of network security admins, storage admins, database admins, a dev team, which is developing applications, line of business or otherwise, and an app support team, which is supporting the production applications. And all of these different teams have been assigned the appropriate RBAC role, Azure RBAC role, on the appropriate subscriptions that they have. So that's more of a centralized way of managing Azure Cloud. Those are the two patterns that we've seen emerge a lot. Of course, if you're a small team of people, like three people, a startup developing a service in the cloud, you wouldn't have to worry about any of the overheads of Azure AD or roles-based access control. You can just use the co-admin model where the three developers have full access to their Azure Cloud subscriptions, and that will suffice for you. All right, so let's quickly go over the best practices that we've gathered from these customer engagements. I can't stress enough, use organizational accounts, not personal Microsoft accounts, not Live ID accounts for managing access to Azure Cloud when it's for your company needs, right? And these accounts, they reside in the Azure AD, connect it with your on-premises AD if you're actually managing identities, mastering identities in that on-premises AD. It's no use, or rather, it becomes difficult when a user account gets disabled in the on-premises AD, and you have to disable that account in the cloud also. You would rather have it such that when the user leaves the organization or changes roles, their account gets disabled in one place and they lose access automatically or to all subscriptions in the cloud. So connect your Azure AD with your on-premises AD for the management. Now, we've seen instances where there are a couple of teams that are onboarding to the cloud, one doing Office 365 onboarding, the other one doing Azure onboarding, and both of them create different directories, and then they have to reconcile which directory can connect back to the enterprise. And usually they have to go through an experience of trying to combine those two directories. You don't want to be in that situation. You would rather extend your Azure, your Active Directory on-premises to one Azure AD representing your organization, and then just onboard to whatever cloud service that makes sense, whether Office 365 or Azure, using the Azure AD that you have there. Manage access using groups, not individual users, because you saw how when you grant access to groups, you can enable self-service access management also for the teams where they don't have to come back to the central team when new people join the project. Multi-factor authentication, it's very important that you enable MFA for people managing resources in your Azure cloud. Either use the Azure AD paid feature of multi-factor auth, or if your company has an existing multi-factor auth solution integrated with your ADFS, you can use that for your Azure management also by configuring the single sign-on, the connection back to your ADFS server. Of course, you have to figure out what the right balance is between the central governance and the self-service that you need to manage. The right balance is important because if it is too open, too self-service, then you end up in a scenario which is that worst-case scenario we discussed earlier. But if it's too restrictive, if everything is governed centrally, then you're promoting shadow IT where your people will get frustrated and just go do things by Azure or whatever clouds themselves. So you want to strike the right balance, and Azure AD and RBAC allow you to do that. Follow the principle of least privilege, of course. Assign the role that makes sense. Don't make somebody an owner if the contributor role suffices. Don't make somebody a contributor if virtual machine contributor suffices. Use resource groups now to segregate access. Don't use Azure subscriptions. There was a time when you had to segregate access using subscriptions and people ended up with multiple subscriptions. Now, you should only create new subscriptions if you need to change the billing model of that workload, or you've hit the caps on the limits that Azure imposes on the resource, number of resources in a subscription. Otherwise, use resource groups for segregating access, for containing resources within a project, and monitor access changes on a regular basis. So yeah, I've put this slide again so that you get a chance to look at it. But really, I hope you have enough information now that you can enable the right access control model, design it and implement it for your Azure cloud. Try these new features, give us feedback. We'd love to hear from you. Thank you so much.